What up, everybody? This is Double G for the Fight Game Podcast here with John the Rocca on our new night, which used to be our old night, but it's our new night again. And we're here to talk about some wrestling. We're going to do the show a little bit differently. We mentioned last week that we're changing up the rundown a little bit. We're not going to do that deep, deep microscopic dive into AEW Dynamite. It was a good week to not have to do that for AEW Dynamite. But we're going to talk more wrestling. We'll talk more WWE. We'll talk more New Japan. We'll just be able to talk more about what's going on instead of being so hyper-focused on Dynamite. But we're still going to talk about Dynamite. Don't worry. One thing before we get started, I mentioned this last week. We have our Fight Game Media Discord. It's been going really well. If you are interested in coming and hanging out, Discord is a little scary in the beginning when you kind of jump in, and then it's pretty intuitive. So if you have any worries about Discord, it's actually not that different. If you've used Slack, it's not different from Slack. It's pretty similar. So I think if you use Slack, you'll get Discord very, very quickly. But shoot me an email, gg@fightgamemedia.com. We even got John in there. He's posting about stuff, so
I jump in every once in a while. It's hard for me to keep up. You guys, I got my notifications on.
Yeah, you'll figure out what the right rhythm and is.
I'm just getting bing, 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 you know, and then the wife's sticking and I'm talking to someone, and it's just a bunch of dudes, man.
All right, so what are we gonna do today? So we're gonna talk about Revolution and the card that is sort of shaping up, because We're going to be going to some shows in a couple weeks here in San Francisco. We'll do our thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll talk a little bit about Battle in the Valley, which we will be attending this weekend. And then also a little bit of Elimination Chamber, which is on Saturday night. Unfortunately, it's also at the same time as we'll be at Battle in the Valley.
Yeah.
I imagine some folks may have their phones out during certain parts of that WWE show, depending on what's going on crazy on Twitter. Also for me, it's the NBA dunk slam dunk contest and 3-point shootout that night. So man, it's a busy one. But the first thing I wanted to lead off this show, you studied a lot of Jerry Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of wanted to open up this show and let you take the wheel here and talk about Jarrett. And I know you even had kind of like a fun social media relationship with him going back a few years there. So I want to open up the floor, let you talk about Jerry, and that's how we're going to start the show.
Yeah, you know, I was, ever since I started being a fan of wrestling and I found out about other promotions in wrestling, Memphis was kind of the first territory that caught my attention, and Jerry Lawler. And so when I started tape trading, the first things I wanted to tape trade for was Memphis wrestling. And so I really study a lot about Memphis wrestling and about Jerry Jarrett, how the promotion started, how he broke from the Gulas territory, took Lance Russell with him, Jerry Lawler's top star, and, you know, made Memphis, you know, a powerhouse and knocked out Gulas, which was pretty amazing. And like when I started booking APW, this is around 2008, so around 2009. The old MySpace, remember old MySpace was still kicking around?
Oh, yeah.
And he was on MySpace, and I was like, you know, what the hell? So I just messaged him, and we started corresponding on there, and he gave me his personal email to start emailing there, and I would kind of bounce around booking ideas and give thoughts on stuff. I remember Jody Christofferson, who's the son of Chris Christofferson, was making his debut, and I was kind of giving my idea about what I want to do with him, and he gave me a different idea, and basically I asked him, like, should he win or lose, you know, on his debut?
Mm-hmm.
And he suggested winning, but I actually ended up booking to lose, and I still think it worked out, but, you know, good for Jody, right? But it was great to bounce off ideas, you know, off him. And I was really just honored to have, you know, he's taking his time to write me back. I think he knew, like, I wasn't being so crazy fan or anything.
Yeah.
I was asking, like, legit questions. And at the time when, in 2012, when I was getting frustrated with APW. Roland was bringing someone else in who's kind of, you know, selling them everything, the goods. Everybody's going to turn around. And Roland wanted to work this guy on the creative end. I went to Jerry Jarrett for advice. Like, what do I do? And he basically said, well, if you're in the kitchen and you're making your meal, you're prepping your food and you're doing everything, you're making your, you know, but now this other person's adding certain spices in there. Now it's not your meal, you know, now it's not your dish that you cooked. And so he suggested I should, you know, either just pretty much go do something else, you know, go somewhere else. So that's what I did. I said, you know what, that's a good idea. I don't want to be, because that guy's not going to be judged by the work. You know, I'm going to be judged by it, not him, right? So, yeah. So I decided to walk away. And then, you know, of course, that led me to start Premier Wrestling. And then, you know, obviously when that ended, I ended up coming back to APW. But it was just cool to really, I mean, it was like blew my mind, because he's one of the greatest promoters of all time. One of the most brilliant minds in wrestling of all time. I mean, shit, when Vince McMahon was going to jail, he hired Jerry Jarrett to run the company, you know, because he trusted Jerry Jarrett to run a professional wrestling company. He understood the business. So I know I you know, turned on the Twitter machine and then I saw the news, and then I got a couple of text messages from people about it. So yeah. Pretty sad, but
were you ever able to share your Premiere stuff with him?
At that time, no. I think I stopped. I mean, the Premiere stuff, I kind of had my own idea and where I wanted to do with it, and it wasn't like typical pro wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I was interested, because it would have been way different than what he would have thought.
Yeah, so I had my own vision with the Premiere, and I wanted to execute the way I envisioned it. So yeah, I didn't, but no, when it came to like, cause APW is a lot more storylines and angles, yeah. And you know, it was cool to really just bounce ideas. You know, I got lucky, you know, talk to Larry Matisick, you know, Meltzer, you know, helped me get in contact with him, just corresponded with Larry Matisick. And that was a thrill. And he gave me like very inspirational kind of speech, you know, before I started booking, and that was pretty cool. And just philosophies to kind of go by. And then I was got to bounce off stuff from Jerry Jarrett. And later on, ABW, got to talk to Kevin Sullivan a few times. That was a lot of fun, you know. After Cow Palace, yeah. Which he had a great time and enjoyed the booking of the Cow Palace. So that was fun. So
MySpace, I guess that shows you why MySpace both succeeded and failed back then, which is somebody who's not really up and up on the tech can just go on, create a MySpace page and people come to him.
Yeah,
you know, like Jerry Jarrett. But at the same time, if you know, the older folks can do it, then it's probably not the coolest place in the world for MySpace. But that's I like that story, because he was like, hey, like, I can talk to people. People can reach out to me. I can help them. Maybe I'll find some of my old friends who, you know, we don't have email addresses or whatever. So that's pretty cool that he was open to doing that. You know what? Yeah. It's an extension of a message board or whatever, right? Like whatever. However way that he did that previously.
Yeah. Old school Oliver John used to just laugh, because I would tell him I talked to some old school wrestler on there. He's like, you're always talking to the old school wrestlers on there. And he just would crack up about stuff like that. When I told him about Jerry Jarrett. He was, that's a cool story about Jerry Jarrett. I sent him a promo of Oliver John.
Oh, yeah.
And he watched it, was very impressed by it, and he said if I had him in Memphis territory, he would be a top star. And he told me to have Oliver send him a promotional video, and he was sent it to WWE. So we did that. I mean, Oliver got a couple shots over there, but didn't really pan out. So that was a pretty cool story.
Yeah, no, that is cool. All right, why don't we kick off our thumbs up and thumbs down? And I'll start, because mine really relates to Jerry Jarrett. I gave my thumbs up to his son, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Jeff opened the show on Dynamite. He just went to work, right? Like people, you know, some people would not have done it, and that's not to blame anybody. That's how they would grieve. But for Jeff, who's like, life is wrestling. Mm-hmm. He decided to suit up and take his booking and, you know, on TV with Jay Lethal and Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed and Satnam Singh. And so I just thought, I was like, wow, like, because so basically when I heard the news, and then I was on We're Live Pal with Andrew, and I was reading off the what was going to happen on Dynamite, I just read off Jeff Jarrett's name. And then when we shut the show down, I thought back. I was like, wait, is Jeff even going to wrestle? His dad just died. And I just kind of glossed over it. And then you heard then later that day or the next day that Jeff was still going to wrestle. So I just thought that was, you know, really courageous. And that's just kind of how he was raised and how he's brought up and how what worked for him. But I just thought, man, it's got to be like the hardest thing to do that on that day. And he just went out and did his job.
Yeah. And it was kind of sad when they had fallen out for many years, right? It was, but they reconciled, which is great. And I'm sure Jeff, like you said, it's therapeutic for him just to go out there and do what he loves. And probably in his ear, he probably has his dad's advice saying, you got to make the towns no matter what, right? So, but yeah, it was good to see Jeff and, you know, performing at a great level too on Dynamite. You know, I'm not saying I was a fan of that match itself, but his work was pretty good.
So what about for you for thumbs up this week?
Thumbs up. I watched a portion of Monday Night Raw. You know me, I can't really last for 3 hours, but I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot while I was waiting for the wife to get her stuff done before we sat down and watched her shows and stuff. And I'm watching it. I really dug the Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley deal with the contracts. It was a little different. The only thing I didn't like, I would have changed and wish it didn't happen, the Brock smile at the end of it. You know, I know he's like, I got him. You know, I got the match I want. But still, like, can you sell a little bit more? Like, so, you know, just to be down, you know, I don't know. But other than that, I just thought it was pretty exciting. You know, that backdrop on the floor, I was like, holy shit, the way they caught that on camera.
Oh, yeah.
Out of nowhere, that was pretty awesome. And then the Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes stuff I thought was really, really good and beneficial for both men going into their big matches coming up. You know, one great lead-in for Sami for Elimination Chamber, and then, of course, continue to build up Cody for WrestleMania. I thought it was a really good piece of business. So,
did you watch SmackDown when he was with Heyman, and Heyman?
Yes, and that was okay.
So there was a tone shift though, and I was wondering if the tone shift is because they maybe changed plans. I may be just looking completely into this for, you know, for just trying to find stuff. But so Sammy, when he was with Heyman, he was very confident. He's like, you know, I'm going to end Roman, you know, or whatever he said. But then on Raw, when he was talking to Cody, he was like, if I can be honest, I'm not sure I can win. So it was like a complete, like, different, not quite a 180, but it was like the baby face who was kind of in his own head. Whereas on the other show, maybe it was because he was with Heyman, the heel, versus he could be honest with his friend Cody or his new friend or whatever. But I just wondered if I was like, I wonder why the tone shift and why all of a sudden he decided to, you know, open himself up like that. And if there was a reason or not, I don't know if there was a reason. Maybe it was just to endear him to the crowd a little bit more.
I really hope they don't do a three-way at WrestleMania. I would just be really disappointed that. One, I don't like three-ways. I'm tired of them. I still think Sammy can lose and the crowd could still go home happy. And, you know, I still think Jay would probably turn, I have a feeling. And then I think, in a surprise of Montreal fans, I think Kevin Owens will make a surprise appearance at the end and kind of
save his buddy. There.
So, but yeah, I think what I liked about that promo too, I'm like, you know, if Cody wins, and he should win, I think at WrestleMania, Sammy versus Cody, a good fun babyface versus babyface match with Cody playing the subtle heel world champion. I think that could be a hell of a matchup. I don't, you know, so a lot of cool stuff with Cody as champion. I think, like I said, I'm kind of hoping, like I mentioned on the Take It Home podcast, that I kind of hope they still keep two belts together.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to love to see Cody kind of bounce from brand to brand and just be that traveling quote unquote world champion. So
John Muse, our friend John Muse, he sent me his idea. And his idea for WrestleMania is a little bit different than what I think most people's idea is. Like, his idea is really about making Sammy and keeping the belt on Roman and letting Roman get to his 1,000 days of champion. And so his idea is to actually have Roman wrestle Cody on night one and Roman beat Cody on night one. And then in night two, it's an unsanctioned tribal rules match. So it's just for the head of the table. And his idea is to have Sammy win that match. It's non-title. And what it does is it splits the Usos with Sammy, and they are still their team. And then it takes Roman and Solo, and they create a different stable. And that was his idea. So he wrote it all out. It's on the Fight Game Media Patreon, if anyone wants to check that out. Patreon.com/Fight Game Media. I thought it was interesting because it's just a different thing. Like, his goal for WrestleMania is a little bit different than I think most people
and that's
goals.
And that's free for
It's free post.
Free post, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a definitely interesting idea. I just feel like Roman's gonna lose at WrestleMania. I think it's time we change it up a bit, you know, but Roman will still be around. He's not gonna be as, you know, he'll still be around, and we'll see. I still think there's a match with Sammy beating Roman down the line post WrestleMania.
Do you think they could get out of Montreal doing a DQ?
I don't like a DQ finish there. I still like Jay being conflicted. Still, you know,
so that was my idea, and I threw it out off the cuff on We're Live Pal because the two other ideas were kind of by what I think most people think is going to happen. And I said, what if Sammy has a visual pin on Roman, referee gets bumped somehow, and he gets frustrated, and he's like, okay, you know, where's the ref? Like, how do I get the ref back? And Jimmy goes to the apron. Like, he's going to do something, and Jay pulls him back. And he's like, no. Or there's just a hesitation. And Solo looks at both of them, and then Solo goes in, and he and Roman just start beating the hell out of Sammy until KO saves him. And then, you know, they get its qualification that way. And then Roman, being frustrated that Sammy got that visual pin on him and that Jay held Jimmy back, he's like, screw this. We're doing this again. Night one, WrestleMania. And then he beats Sammy that night. And then Cody gets his win on slightly weakened Roman. Then they can set up, you know, whatever the follow up for Cody and Roman, you know, for SummerSlam or whatever.
My only issue with that, I just don't want, if you're going to take the belt off Roman, I don't want him weakened because that kind of diminished the Cody's win, you know, like, oh, he didn't really beat the dominant Roman Reigns, you know, he beat a weakened Roman Reigns. So I don't know about that one, but yeah, I like a lot of that. I still think it's going to be more of the drama is going to come down again. It's going to be one of those, they're going to try to book that moment again, something similar to Royal Rumble. It's going on last, I'm pretty sure.
It's got to, yeah.
I assume the men's elimination chamber will be first. And I hope Austin Theory retains in that one. I would think he would. And I had a idea with, because isn't John Cena rumored for Austin Theory at WrestleMania?
Is that that's what people think is going to be the match.
I had a, you know, theory that theory. I had a booking that Austin Theory would retain the title at Elimination Chamber, survive all the odds. As he's come to the cage, there's what's her name? The interviewer on Raw. What's her name? She's great. Kathy something.
Kathy, yeah.
Yeah. She goes on there like at ringside interview as he's walking back, freaking tired, groggy. And he's like, just scream, I told you I did it. Mm-hmm. I'm the greatest. I told you, you know, just gloating. He leaves, goes off. And then as there's, you know, their announcers are talking about something else, their cage is getting risen. They go back to the locker room to get more talk with Austin Theory. There's reporters around him. There's everything, right? They're trying to get a total of him. He's just gloating. all of a sudden you see John Cena just kind of go across the screen and all the reporters, everyone just take off, you know? And John Cena's surprise is there, cuts a promo, teases WrestleMania plans at that pay-per-view, teases, hey, I'll just wait one more night, show up, I'll be on Raw with my announcement, what I'm going to do at WrestleMania, or, you know, what my involvement of WrestleMania is. And then that's when, like, at Raw, Austin Theory confronts John Cena and sets something up there. So maybe John Cena starts saying, I'm going to be the host, right? I'm going to be this host of WrestleMania. And people are like, everyone's like, oh, that's cool. We kind of hosted a match. But then Austin Theory is the one that challenges him, right? And now it becomes a match, right? You know, so I don't know. Something like that would be fun. But I was kind of hoping Cena and Gunther, but rumors are it's Gunther and Brock, but.
We'll rumors see. Are Gunther and Brock, and then rumors are it's not Gunther and Brock. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Drew and Sheamus in a three-way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't want Gunther and Brock just yet. I don't know. Like, now there is a match I would like to see an injured Brock going into Gunther. You know, the I don't want Gunther losing. But yeah, I wouldn't mind that three-way at all. Even though I'm not a big three-way fan, but those guys will pull it off for sure.
All right, so for my thumbs down, it's just a very slight thumbs down. There wasn't anything that really bothered me last week. The slight thumbs down is New Japan Pro Wrestling's booking. And this is mainly about when we were watching Wrestle Kingdom, and I was like, wow, this show based off of Ospreay and Kenny and then the main event, like this show feels alive again. Like it feels like New Japan is alive again. And so I didn't get to watch the show last week, but supposedly Okada and Shingo was amazing. Tanahashi comes out, sets up what we're going to see.
Yeah.
And then I saw the New Japan Cup brackets. And I know this isn't historically like a Buku Bucks kind of card.
Yeah,
but I just wanted to see a little bit of creativity. I wanted to see maybe a surprise or two in that bracket just to go, oh, like, you know, this is something that we should keep an eye on.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I thought the bracket was just kind of ho-hum.
Yeah, I think it's the Cup's always been kind of New Japan centric, right? Not really too many outsiders, maybe a Lance Archer, you know, or something like that.
Yeah,
so I wasn't too surprised. I mean, kind of cool. I know this probably not a guy you're talking about would, you know, pique your excitement, but I mean, you got poor Fred Rosser has been doing such a great job and as the strong champion and stuff. Like, why can't he go pretty far in that tournament and add something, you know, new or I don't know. Yeah, I agree. But I don't like the buys either. I'm not a big fan of the
buys. It's a little weird. Like, a little weird.
I'm okay with Jeff Cobb getting a buy. It's okay. No, it's okay. But like, you know, like it's just why is these certain people have get buys and they don't, you know, I didn't even like it for the Crockett Cup when I was a kid. Like, why is these eight teams get buys, you know?
Like, there'll be a couple of, I'm sure some of the first round matches, like even the ones that we're not really thinking are going to be good or probably be good.
Yeah.
It doesn't even really feel like, you know, the tournament's going to kick off until you get to like that third round. But it's again, it's a small thumbs down. Yeah. I just wanted to see one guy, you know, it was like, oh, I didn't know he was going to be in the Cup. But I get it. It's a long, just that person's got to be there for, you know, several weeks until you get to the last match. But one of the things I can say is we're going to bring on Chris Samsa, New Japan statistician, and so it'll probably be whatever the show, this show that is the before the Cup starts, that's when we'll bring him on and we'll go through the bracket and he'll give me his thoughts on the brackets and such. And he does a fun thing on his website with brackets, so if you're looking to do some March Madness style brackets with some friends and, you know, a couple of Monopoly bucks, check out Chris's website. And what is Chris's website?
Is it on DraftKings?
Let me see what Chris's website is. I had to pull up his Twitter here. Oh gosh, he doesn't even link his website. It's something about the sport of pro wrestling, I think. So search that and he's got stuff up there. All right, what about your thumbs down?
My thumb down is kind of tough, but I had to go with Tony Khan for that dynamite we watched last night. You use your something, right? There's something that you really like. Okay, maybe a couple things, but I thought last show from beginning to end was just a big wet fart, honestly. You know, that's just nothing was a lot of really poorly booked stuff and formatted really weird. And I don't know, like, especially leading to the pay-per-view, like, there was only, what, 3 weeks away? Like,
yeah,
I feel like we should start ramping up some stuff. And I don't know how much dynamite we want to talk about later, but like the MJF Christopher Daniels thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of felt like it honestly came out of nowhere, right? Like, just he's like the promotion to the show was for MJF was obligated to appear, right? Like, I don't know, like, nothing to tease that he has. I don't know. I didn't watch Rampage, and maybe he said something on Rampage, but something to build, like, hey, I got someone that's going to expose. What is that? Who cares about that? I don't know. I just didn't like it. Yes, it's cool that Chris Daniels mentioned King Indies, APW. That was cool and all, but
yeah,
I just felt like we need to start ramping up stuff, and then the tag team title match and
we'll go over what the Revolution card is so far, and then we'll use that to talk about some of those segments when we get to it.
And we mentioned all the time, like, he really needs someone to kind of be his editor, you know. And maybe there's people just don't want to say no. I don't know. But, like, it's just, for example, the main event, mm-hmm. out comes Tony Storm. I'm sorry for jumping into anything that you want to talk about later. I apologize for that. But Tony Storm comes out, and she goes up to this fan. Obviously, it's a fake fan holding up a sign.
At first, I thought it was Rebel. I was like, what's Rebel doing? And then it wasn't Rebel.
I didn't recognize who it was. I don't know who it was, but so Tony Storm just attacks this fan, pulls her over the guardrail, starts roughing her up in the corner. You could clearly see the AEW security guard just sitting there with his hands in his pocket, right? Just come on. Like, who says, well, what is the security going to do at this point? What do you mean? Well, wouldn't they have to intervene if she's attacking a fan and the fan's over the guardrail? They have to stop it. Like, where's that person that meant bring that up? The kind of thing, oh, yeah, man, that's not a good idea. Maybe we should scrap it. Same thing last week with Jericho, his little interference of the match and at ringside, the fake with the lucha mask on, and he attacks a wrestler as a fan. If no one does anything to this fan who attacked a wrestler, he jumps over the guardrail. No one stops the fan from jumping the guardrail, getting the ring. He casually walks the ring. No one stops him. Stuff like that just is really stupid and mind-boggling that no one can. I understand Tony getting excited about a portion of this idea. You kind of don't see the holes in it, but there mm-hmm. needs to be someone that you trust that goes, hey, you know, like that. You get, what about this? You know, what about that? You can't be doing that if you're going to, you know, so that was really frustrating last night. I was pretty frustrated last night's show. So,
you know me, like, I'm less interested in like these long wrestling matches unless they're really good. Mm-hmm. I just want to see something that makes me go, oh, this is an evolution of this story. I can't wait to see what happens next. Like, that's really mm-hmm. what I like about wrestling. There is nothing.
No,
I was like you thinking like, okay, Revolution's coming, but this seemed like a little bit of a lame duck week for advancing stuff. Like, they advertised Adam Cole to come out, and I was like, oh, great, we're gonna see what he's gonna do. And he specifically says, I'm not gonna say anything. It's like, why is he even on the show? Why?
Still teasing.
My goodness,
what he's gonna be doing. I did like his promo though.
He's such a good talker.
Yeah, he's a good talker. But
all right, why don't we do it now? Let's just go over the card that we know so far, and then some of the other matches that may be rumored. And first one, obviously, Bryan Danielson, MJF, 60-minute Iron Man match. You talked about the thing with Daniels. I actually liked this MJF promo because he took the match seriously. Like it wasn't about him being a scumbag. It wasn't about him being a dick. They did that stuff with Christopher mm-hmm. Daniels, but this was like why he's going to win, why he's better. Like, you know, really, really putting over the idea of him being, you know, the best wrestler and the champion and all that stuff. So I like that part of it. But the Christopher Daniels thing was, I think it's just a way to keep that segment long because they probably think that MJF is a good ratings mover, the, you know, when they keep him out there for talking for a while.
It's just felt kind of cookie cutter to me.
Or was nice little advertisement for Power Slap there. Daniels right to the face. And then MJF went low and I was like, oh no, Dana White's new sport. Kicking the balls. Who can take the kick in the balls?
Was it Barstool Sports or something like that? That I think I retweeted because it was like just these girls, like it was Power Slap, but slapping the booty. I think Mike, of course, our good buddy Mike Gilbert, who's just so funny. Yeah, he says like, oh, the Access should get this and put it opposite of Power Slap.
They should.
That was great.
Oh man. All right. So you mentioned the tag team titles thing. So the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn against Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, and Satnam Singh. My and like right away, I was like, oh, like the tone of this is wrong because the Acclaimed just got screwed out of their titles.
Yeah.
And they're coming into the goofy match. Right.
Yes.
Like there was no frustration. They were just there to entertain the fans. They did the same shtick, did the same rap. Like there was no edge to them. There was a little bit later. We'll talk about that. But yeah, this was just kind of like for fun, goofy match. It wasn't serious in any way.
I'm surprised they opened the show with it. I kind of all the matches to open the show with. Maybe you don't even open this. Maybe open with NGF first or something like that, you know, because he was able to, well, wrestling wise, he was able to hold the rating pretty good last week. But this week he had a huge drop because this match wasn't nothing. It was goofy. It was, you know, there's Sanjay Dutt acting like a total, you know, parody of a wrestling manager.
Yeah, I keep saying it was Sanjay Dutt. It was not Satnam Singh. I thought Satnam Singh was supposed to wrestle, though.
He was in it, but he barely got in. They don't let him do too much. So,
okay.
It was just a goofy match. I can see a lot of those people that they hold over from Big Bang, like, all right, I'm out, but like they might have stuck around for the, like, that's what frustrated me. Okay, you had that whole 8-man tag, it's a one big gaga match.
Oh, Orange Cassidy was on the babyface side,
yes,
too.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know why he didn't have his best friends as his tag team partner.
Yeah.
Well, because he knows they don't draw rings either, so they had at least get the claim in there to kind of spice this up a bit. But that match goes all the way through. No break, right? They show the whole thing. Once the second match happens, that's the Texas Tornado match, which is Jon Moxley and Claudio versus Roosh and
Vance.
Preston Vance. And they start firing on the floor, and then I think we go to break. And the best part of that, which also frustrated me, is like as the baby faces Mox and Claudia are making their way through the audience, they get jumped by Roosh and Vance, right? And it's this big fight on the floor in the crowd. And you would think, like, if you just want to go break there, you want the baby face to be down, selling, oh my God, they got attacked. I got this match coming up. What's going to happen? Like, tune in, keep in, you know? But no, Mox and Claudia just whipped their ass. And then we go to break. So where's the drama? What do you get to see? Okay, oh, they got these guys. No problem. You know, I can go on and wait on until maybe 9 o'clock and maybe another big star shows up, you know? So I'd rather have that match first. And then you could have done the commercial break during the Gaga match, that 8-man tag. So yeah. And I just can't believe they ended the show with the women. You know, not knocking women's wrestling, it's just ratings wise, when the women's match happens on AEW, they usually take a big dip, you know. And now,
well, like, a lot of times they're also putting that death segment in. I think they're trying to mess with that segment to see if there's anything that doesn't, because the the Elite match from last week died in that death segment.
I think a lot of people are just over Elite. I mean, I think they'll be into Kenny if he's away from it. And I think they're starting to tease that, which is nice, you know, with some dissension between Omega and Callis, just a little bit, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And let's hope they break off. And because I think Omega is more interesting as a singles. And I think at this point in time, it's probably best for him to be a babyface.
Yeah.
You know, because they definitely need stronger babyfaces right now. Because it's, you know, Mox is, you know, we saw that last year. Starks has been pretty much cooled off, I think. You know, that's what happens when you wrestle Chris Jericho. And, yeah, who else? Like, who's new? Like, Wardlow got cooled off. They're trying to start him up again. We'll see.
Where's our guy Hobbs?
Fuck, 3 weeks of San Francisco. And, you know, like, you would think they would give him something. Have you heard rumor about the ladder match? I'm guessing if they do it, he's going to be in that again.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything, but they have to have a multi-person match for sure. So, okay, so they have the match, the tag match, and so later in the show, and by the way, me screwing up the names is what happens because I didn't take the same detailed notes as I usually take. But so they're in the backstage, they're doing a segment, and they originally were not going to be, it was the Guns, and then I think it was Renee who said, oh, and we're going to get, it's going to be a triple threat for the tag titles. One of the winners comes from next week's tag team battle royal. And then the next week after that, we're going to do a casino battle royal. That's how we're going to get the two teams. And then the Acclaim come in and they go, no. Like we need our return match. And instead of saying, screw this multi-team match, we need the one-on-one match because we lost unfair. They're like, nope, just add us in. They're like, dude, you're going to lose unfair again. You're supposed to be smarter than that.
I don't understand. Stan Twin Cons, I know why he's booking this. I know why. He's shoehorning people in to this pay-per-view, right? Most likely it's going to be, here's my three options going to be. It's going to be either, one should be probably FTR, my guess.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's going to be,
I mean, if they're healthy.
Yeah, one's going to be the Lucha Brothers. Or if not the Lucha Brothers, I can see Jeff Jarrett and Lethal maybe get in there. Because I'm trying to think of any other tag teams.
Lucha Brothers are back. They did wrestle yesterday. Back.
But, you know, coming off of your most popular tag team being screwed out of tag team titles, you would think you'd come back with a rematch at the pay-per-view, you know, at least, right? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe some kind of stip if you had to add a stip to it, but I don't understand. It just basically, I understand. It's just he's just basically shoehorning people on the card.
Yeah,
and that's very indie, you know. Like
now I'm not comparing Tony Khan to Vince Russo because Tony Khan is way smarter than Vince Russo, but that's what Vince Russo would do. That's WrestleMania 15 right there. It's like let's make every, you know, the way to get more people on the show. We just add them to matches and we, you know, make them make less sense than they did. And yeah, I didn't like that at all. I was like, man, my guys, the Acclaim, they need their shot, but it's possibly also a way to keep the titles off of them for a little bit longer. I just figured that they were going to go right back, but maybe they're not going to go right back.
Well, you know, you could still have the Guns screw them again and continue to build to the big third match. And then the big third match, maybe the Acclaim get the belts back from the Guns. But I think when you add, even if you add FTR, who if they, you know, they'll make it structured, you know, in there as best as possible, but you're just taking the focus away from the main issue, which is the Guns, who screwed the Bayfaces and Papa Bayface tag team, the Acclaim, other tag team titles. You're just muddying up the waters there, and you're adding like two other teams. And then the way to get into this freaking match is like so overbooked. A battle royal at 1 week and then a casino battle royal the next. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
And those are going to be some bad matches, bro.
So John Moxley and Hangman, we're going to have the Texas Death Rules match at the pay-per-view. So I just find it so odd that the reason for this match is that neither Mox or Hangman are agreeable to Mox winning with a wrestling pin. That wrestling pinfall, the roll-up in their match, was so weak that Hangman can't agree. He can't. He's not over it. And Moxley, he's yeah, I kind of wussed out on that one. Yet there were two matches on this show that had roll-up pins for victories.
Yeah.
So
horrible.
So Hangman beats Kip. He was beat up by Butcher and Blade earlier, so I guess that was the reason that the match didn't end in 30 seconds. I wished it would have ended in 30 seconds because that would have showed how badass Hangman is, and instead it showed not how bad how not badass he is right now. So Mox's crew comes down after he wins, and Mox is just kind of like punking him on the mic. He's just punking him like, I own you. I'm in your head. I know what you're going to do for you. You are. And then he's like, and plus, you don't have any homies. And then all of a sudden, the Dark Order music plays, and those guys come out.
Crickets.
And
crickets. No one reacted. It was, and actually, there was a little bit of reaction. There was a couple groans, like, oh, God. Because these guys.
Oh, you like heard dudes. That through the TV?
Yeah, I got
you
a good surround sound.
You heard me groan?
Oh, that was, yeah. Yeah, that was you. And me, too. Maybe just booming across.
Oh, man. So, okay. Yeah. So. Evil Uno is mad. He's like, we've been with this dude since the beginning. And Hangman's like, chill. Like, I got this. Like, this is my, like, it's me against Mox, man to man. I got this. I have to prove that I am the more man than him. And Evil Uno's like, no, get out of the way. And he just moves out of the way. And then, even worse, Mox is like, just looks at him. And he like looks at him like he's not even there. He's like looking through him, like
looking past him. Yeah,
who's this guy? Come on. And so then they supposedly set up a match between Evil Uno and Mox next week. And I'm just like, man,
yep.
If this doesn't end in 35 seconds, then I don't know what's going on. But like, I just thought like that whole scenario, I thought was going to be to make Hangman like this fighting baby face, like he's. Face like he's just like, let's go, but it made it, like his own guy punked him and showed him up and made him look bad, and now he's, you know, where he was last week, which I thought was, or the week before, which I was like, oh, he's just a crying whiny baby face. And Moxley called him the emo cowboy.
Yeah, this has been uneven from the start. You know, granted, there was an unfortunate knockout, unplanned knockout of the in the first match, but you still continue on and configure a smart way to continue it, but they just really made it totally confusing. And this whole idea of this story with Hangman Page and Jon Moxley is to get Hangman ready for MJF, right?
Yeah.
Next challenger. When the original plans for Hangman Page.
Yeah, at least we hope. We hope that that's what it is.
And, but coming out of this program, I just feel that Hangman's coming off as a little whiny bitch.
Yep.
Like he literally sounded like a whiner. Like, man, you beat me the wrestling hole. You're proud of that? Like, well, fuck yeah, we're wrestlers, you know? Like, what the hell? I thought he sounded such a, like a baby, and I'm like, what is going on here? And wow, yeah, I'm not. I did get a chuckle when Jon Moxley challenge it to a Texas death match, or he says it's just Texas death. He just says that, you know, say Texas death match. And the crowd it's been so ingrained for the last like what 20 years now. The Texas death match is basically now renamed a last man standing match, right? Mm-hmm. That when he announces a Texas death match, the crowd goes, you know, like like what, maybe eighth of them got in. Yeah. So I don't know, it was just kind of funny, but yeah, I don't know. This pay per view is interesting. I think Danielson and MJF is going to be really good because, you know, Danielson's a genius and MJF is good, but that Iron Man stip, I don't like, Garrett. I don't like those matches. You know, they're not as dramatic. But if anyone can make it dramatic, could really make you, you know, on the edge of your seat, Danielson's the guy. So maybe, yeah, you know, I'll hold faith for that. But.
All right, a couple of other matches that look to be set up. Samoa Joe against Wardlow. They did a really nice. They brought old Cranky JR out there to do a sit down, which I
missed
love.
Him that first match.
Yeah, because he would have been cracking up and making jokes. Listen, I love this stuff when they do it. There was a weird edit because they started talking, and then Wardlow said something that made it sound like we were already supposed to know they were talking about Samoa Joe. So there was like a weird edit in there. But then I think it's because they chopped it and they chopped it. But I thought it was really cool. He's talking about his pops, and his pops had cancer, and the reason why he's got the long hair is because, you know, his pops, and then Joe knew that story about why he wore his hair long, and then so when Joe cut it, like, that was Joe being like the ultimate, you know, ultimate heel, cutting the man's hair.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow, that's so cool. That's such a great story. I wanted to hear more. I was like, man, I hope they put like the 10-minute version of this, like, life, you know, the life of Wardlow, because I thought it was really nice. And then he just turned to the camera and cut like a Hulk Hogan promo at him. I was like, oh, you just ruined it. He didn't ruin it, but I was like, oh, that was unexpected. I wanted it to be more, you know, the story that they were telling. But it was solid. And, you know, we'll see what Joe says. And, you know, Joe will be able to be a scumbag heel like MJF, but he won't have to like make bad jokes about it, and we'll get to see really nasty, angry Samoa Joe. So I'm in. I'm good.
Yeah, I thought the promo, like, I liked the stuff with his dad. That was very heartfelt. I was digging it. But then it felt really, all of a sudden, boom, he's cutting this, you know, angry wrestling promo at his rival, and almost like the cut was so bad, it just made it feel so fake and not genuine.
Yeah. Yeah, it went from really genuine to, oh yeah, this is pro wrestling. I forgot what I was watching for a second. Yeah.
I still think, though, you know, Wardlow, fans just want him to beat people and destroy people, and I think you got to get back to that. So,
yeah,
but we'll see what happens with Joe. Joe has been such a great champion in this role. I also don't want to see him lose either. So I don't know if it's really going to benefit either guys, but we'll see.
So looks like we're going to get something with Jungle Boy and Christian, but, you know, this was the show for babyfaces who, you know, didn't really do smart things. Like, Jungle Boy beats Cage, and then all of a sudden he sees Christian, and Christian's got his arm in a sling. And so Jack just goes, I'm just going to charge after the guy with the bad arm. And then he gets sprayed in the face with whatever that was, hairspray or mace or... Taz said he could smell it, but he didn't tell us what it smelled
Manaka.
Like. Yeah, some or maybe it was Brandon's ice spray or whatever, the cold spray, like whatever it was.
It was a gift from Brandy. It was her hairspray. She use this, Christian.
Just sprayed him right in the eyes, and so Jungle Boy got to look dumb, left for dead.
Yeah. Well, what was stupid about it? Well, one, it took forever for Christian reveal that he's not really hurt. You know, I think they could have expedited this a little quicker because as he's doing this, no one is coming to help Jungle Boy. He's just laying there out of it.
You know why, though? They told us why.
Because one guy is gone.
Hook got suspended.
Yeah.
Hook got suspended for supposedly breaking Stokely's arm, but then he fist bumped with that arm, so we know it's not broken.
Jack's the most likable guy in that locker room. Everyone probably loves him. No one wanted to come out to his help, you know, to help him. And I know it was a bad match they put him against with Cage, because Cage's not a guy that's going to get him over. Cage is going to do stuff to get himself over. So they just basically had an indie-rific match, which didn't do Jungle Boy any good. Didn't really highlight Jungle Boy. I mean, at one point, Cage is doing the monster power-up, and it's so stupid. Dude, get the fuck out of here, man, with that shit. Like, put him with a good heel, you know, that can get him over, highlight him, give him a good win on television, and then you can do the thing with Christian. But have that Christian's back.
Yep. All right. Last thing before we move on, I just want to get your quick thoughts. Mark Briscoe back, had a match with Josh Woods. Would you put him in AEW or would you put him in ROH?
AEW 100%. I think he kind of, they do something with the tag team title belts and honor him and his brother and their legacy as ROH tag team champions. You know, I think even our boys, Jay McDaniel, Kevin Ely mentioned maybe like retiring those versions, those classic versions of the ROH tag team titles and, you know, give them to Mark, you know, retiring this legacy of the, you know, yeah. We're starting new and there's a new tag team, but Mark needs to be on AEW television. He needs to be on national television. He needs to be, you know, he has something special that you need. He's so different than a lot of guys, you know, he's not cookie cutter. He's fun. Taz is getting a kick out of it. You can tell Taz is like, oh, here we got a guy that actually has some personality to him, you know?
And yeah.
I still say they have something here while they have it. And you just keep doing what you're doing, Mark. Let them win matches. I would say, bro, you don't need to take crazy bumps every match on television, you know? But I still think Owen Cup, I would love to see him win that thing. And I think there's a really big match between him and MJF. And if it's right and you do everything correctly, I think Mark Briscoe beating MJF for the title could be a match to do. It could be
interesting.
You know, I think, I don't know if Mark is a long-term champion, but I'm thinking more Mick Foley, right? Mm-hmm. In 99. So that kind of range is kind of something quick. The big moment is about the moment. And it's not about his long reign. It's that can, you know, MJF can quickly get it back, you know, but I don't know. I'm excited to see him on our AEW television now.
All right. Battle in the Valley, Saturday night, me and you, Jeremy, Rubio, Brian Ruano. We may see baby Huey there.
John sure Quinn, not.
Yeah, John Quinn peaced out on us.
That was a bummer, dude. I was like, wait, what? Oh, yeah. Bro, come on.
John Quinn forgot he had
that's a good dude,
some plans
man.
With wifey. Yeah.
John Quinn's a good freaking dude, dude. I'll tell you that right now, man.
Yeah, he said that. He said, because Big Dave put him over a couple weeks ago. Because John Quinn's been really good to the Great Fowler. He's been a really good friend of the Great Fowler. And Dave put him over. And John Quinn was like, oh, my gosh, now I can't go to these shows. People are going to know who I am. But he was joking, obviously. Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this show. Dude, we're going to get Okada and Tanahashi. Like, who would have thought? That's amazing.
I can't believe it. We're worried about Okada versus Peter Avalon for a while.
remember how I was saying, I was like, if it's Okada versus like any of these random guys, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to walk out. Yeah. And then they're like, no. They're like, no.
And I kept digging at it. Yeah, I think it's Peter Avalon. I think it's going to be a Blade or some shit from AEW. Lance Archer, you know.
Oh, you get to see the legends.
The legends. But dude, what a gift, man. You know what I mean? Gift for me. The fan of my wrestling fan of my soul, man, was a super, it's one of the best in-ring rivalries, you know, of modern wrestling. So, you know, it's up there with just classic matches. You know, I held those series of matches up with Briscoe and Funk Jr. and Flair and Steamboat, you know, so Misawa and Kobashi. So Yeah, blown away that match is going to be in our 2,500 the seat Civic Auditorium. But
and
hey,
they already sold out the thing before they even announced it. So,
but you know, I should have had my thumbs up for New Japan. I know you had the thumbs down, but I gotta throw a thumbs up for at least. Hey, this is a big pay per view for them. They're going for buys, right? You know, they're going for pay per view. They just spent a lot of money. Mercedes Moné, the former Sasha Banks, and they want people to buy this pay-per-view. They don't want it to be a one match pay-per-view, right? They want something for everyone. And there's the, you know, there's there's a no rope match with Tom Lawler and Homicide, if you like that kind of stuff, right? There's a Loser Leaves Town match now. There's the women match for the title with Mercedes Moné in her first New Japan match.
Yeah.
And then for those classic fans that, you know, love the classic New Japan stuff, rivalries, there's Okada versus Tanahashi. I'm super pumped. And this is my first Matt wrestling show back. I don't count that one in Gilroy at the
Oh yeah, the one that you went.
Yeah,
through.
We don't talk about that one. That was that was not even wrestling. That was just a slap in the face. So this is my official first wrestling show back. So I'm looking super pumped for it, man. So
all right, let's go quickly over the card. We got to show up early if the first match, at least according to this, the pre-show match, Alex Coughlin against J.R. Kratos.
Yeah.
So we got to be there on
doors
time.
Open at five see, something.
Yeah,
right?
So we can see Kratos.
I got to talk about Heartbreak Kid. Do you hear that? Yeah. We gotta be there.
David Finlay versus Bobby Fish is also a pre-show match, and then pay-per-view starts with Dorada, Josh Alexander, Adrian Quest, and Rocky Romero versus Kushida, Volador Jr., Kevin Knight, and the DKC. And I think now I'm this is in pencil. I don't like to say this stuff until it happens, but I think Dave and I are supposed to talk to Rocky tomorrow.
Okay.
So we may have a podcast out talking to Rocky Romero. But like I said, until we actually recorded it, until I actually edit it so that I know it got recorded, I don't like to make any promises. But just cross your fingers if you want to hear about Rocky. And now I got to watch that the Rocky Volador Jr. match from a few weeks ago that Dave was really high for, because I guess this is like, I don't know if it's a continuation of that storyline, but Volador Jr. is in this match. Fred Rosser versus Kenta.
Yeah, should be good.
Motor City Machine Guns versus the West Coast Wrecking Crew in Jorel Nelson and Royce Isaacs. Mm-hmm. This is for the Strong Openweight Tag Team titles. Jay White versus Eddie Kingston. Now, for this match, Jay White lost to Hikuleo in a loser leaves Japan match. And so this isn't in Japan. This is for New Japan US. But Eddie Kingston and Jay did some business today on Wrestling Observer Live. And I'm going to play the clip from Brian's show, because this is what happens when you listen to Wrestling Observer Live. You get some stuff coming out of this show. So let's play the clip from earlier today.
Since you can't wrestle in Japan anymore because my man Hikuleo took care of you. Yo, what up, man? Much love, much respect. He took care of you. How about this, dog? How about we just finish it? How about we just finish it? If I beat that ass, which I will, if I beat a former IWGP champion, right, and you supposedly put me on the map, right, how about you never wrestle for New Japan again?
Oh.
When I beat you, you never wrestle for New Japan again.
Okay. I see what you're putting out. And, you know, Eddie, I don't got much else left to lose other than that. And I'm all about making the stakes higher, because nobody performs under pressure like myself. So you know what, Eddie? That sounds just great to me, but I'm going to need you to put up something as well. So how about, I'll agree to that if you, Eddie, you do the same. When I beat you, teach you your lesson, and give you your moment, you can never compete in a New Japan ring or against or with any New Japan talent ever again. And how about we put in a little bit of fine print in there? You can do that on one condition.
Yeah, okay.
You have to come and get permission from me.
So for Eddie, if Eddie was to lose, Jay's giving him a little bit of an out there. He's saying, if you lose and you can't wrestle New Japan again, I'll let you back in, but you kind of got to get on your knees and beg me. And that's how you get back in. But so I don't know. What does this mean? What does this mean for Jay White? I wonder.
Just seems kind of like anticlimactic if Jay White is, say he loses this match, loser leaves New Japan match, I guess. He lost it to Eddie Kingston, who is
Not even a New Japan.
Not even
a,
yeah. So I yeah, I think it's kind of.
I mean, it's really... it, if Jay is on his way to WWE or AEW, you know, he's just putting guys over on the way out, and it's fine. I don't know if you necessarily need a stipulation for that, but you know, yeah. maybe there's a little bit of they're like you said, they're trying to sell some pay per views, so maybe they're trying to put a little juice on this thing.
What's the ultimate plan for New Japan USA Strong? Like, they're changing it up, right? They're not doing Strong tapings and all that. They're just focusing on pay-per-views?
Yeah, they're doing these big shows, and then they're creating their television off of the big shows, kind of like what they do for Access and the New Japan, the New Japan in Japan shows. I don't know. I thought some sort of partnership with AEW would have been nice, but then again, they're kind of running the same market, right? This is the U.S. AEW is not going to just go, oh, yeah, we're going to help you get your TV show over and help you sell more tickets. Like, they're competitors in the U.S., even if they are partners in talent and such. So I really don't know what it is. Maybe they're just happy running these 2,000-seat buildings and moving slowly. But I feel like they've been doing this for, like, 20 years, this same style, right?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, the Loser Leaves Japan match to Hikuleo, maybe Jay White is now going to be the face of the USA brand of New Japan, and then there'll be somehow, some way he returns at the Dome next year, maybe as a surprise tag team partner or surprise entrant into the G1, or I don't know, something like that. But
yeah,
if he can get in somehow, some way, I'm sure they can. They have I don't know. Is he going to WWE? Is he going to AEW? I don't know. But I just kind of have a feeling this is all just he's sticking with New Japan.
Yeah, I mean, it could totally be that. It could just be, you know, he wrestles in the U.S. Doesn't he live in Florida?
But possibly, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I just heard that. Maybe I just made that up. Don't aggregate that. Okay. they don't aggregate us anyways. They only aggregate when I do that show with Dave. Then they just aggregate the hell out of it. Okay, so let's there's a couple of other matches that I wanted to mention. Zack Sabre Jr. against Clark Connors for the TV championship. And then, like you mentioned already, Tom Lawler versus Homicide in the Filthy Rules fight, which should be pretty insane.
So I'm wondering, it's going to be four. That's the match before intermission.
Well, So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4. That would be match number 5 on the pay-per-view. And then we'd come back with 3 matches after that.
Yeah, I can see them going to their intermission. After that, take the ropes off, go to intermission, during intermission, put the ropes back on.
You know, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that show for Mercedes, the former Sasha Banks. And I'm really rooting for her to have a hell of a match because, you know, when she's wrestling in WrestleMania and WrestleMania 32, like, that's giant pressure. Like, Snoop Dogg, she brings her down. That was amazing. And yeah, that's real pressure. That San Jose show with her and Charlotte, like, that's real pressure because the old man was there and was watching. So I'm not saying that this show for her has that kind of pressure. But, you know, when you leave that company and you're like, I'm fine without you, there's a little engine in her that wants to prove that. And so I hope she doesn't put too much pressure on herself. But I do think this is really big for her.
Oh, I'm sure the armchair quarterbacks and the, you know, they're going to be out overly critiquing her performance if she doesn't have, like, this classic match. I think they're going to have a good match. I think they're going to, you know, they know each other really well. They're going to do great. And that crowd's going to be hot for that match, as you know, it was kind of awkward for her coming out to Tokyo Dome when the crowd's not, like, yelling and screaming. So I think kind of threw her off a bit, but here in the United States, we'll be rocking and rolling. They'll be fine. They'll be feeling the crowd.
Yeah, I'll have my phone with me. It'll be charged up, and I'll be taking video and stuff of all the cool entrances. And so we'll share that in the Discord if you are in the Discord or if you want to join. So check that out. Okay, last thing here before we get out of here is Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. And this is, interestingly, and it's not because it's got the best card ever or anything, but there's so much hype for this show because of what happened at Royal Rumble and because of Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. And man, like, I was just talking to our buddy Larry Caution in mm-hmm. the Discord, and I was just like, you know, they could do the best thing possible for business and get the most interest for whatever happens at WrestleMania. And there's still going to be a small subset of fans who think it's the wrong thing and are going to hate it. Right. There's going to be just an amazing reaction. No matter what the storyline is, there's going to be just a subset of people, no matter what, that are going to be frustrated. And I do wonder how that live crowd is going to react, because even if Kevin Owens comes in and saves the day, there's still going to be a segment, I think, of that fan base who was just like, man, you know, it would have been so great if Sammy won here. I'm not saying that that's the right or the wrong thing, but like, I don't think you're going to be able to please anybody, and this is something that's very good about this storyline, is there's so many people who can't wait to see what happens next. And they all have their ideas. They all have what they want to see. I'm getting way more feedback that Sammy should win this match than I did previously. And again, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but if he doesn't win, there's going to be frustration. And then if he does win, all of a sudden he wins this match for whatever reason, there's going to be so many people who go, oh, I can't believe they screwed up their plans to WrestleMania. You know, so I don't know if everyone's going to be able to be pleased, but I think the reaction to what happens is going to be really fascinating to talk about next week.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a really well laid out finish, a lot of twists and turns. I think the booking has been really good. I think, especially with Cody right now too, playing that, like, he's rooting for. I think it's just brilliant what they did. Cody is rooting for Sammy to win. Like, it doesn't matter who's going to be. He just wants to win the title, right? Yeah. I think that was very smart that they did on Raw. You know, so you can't really turn against Cody, you know?
Yeah, he said, I don't want to see you Monday. Yeah. I want to see you at WrestleMania across the ring. Yeah,
that was a great line, man.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I think it's going to be a lot of twists and turns. I think they have a really solid plan, and I think it's just going to continue to build up interest for WrestleMania. It's pretty cool that, you know, things are clicking right now. You know, it's been like a long time since we felt this energy with WWE storytelling, and I like the card. You know, the women's cage doesn't look that too good, but I kind
of
like that.
Who do you think comes out of that?
I don't even care. I think it's going to be something where Becky and Bayley are going to end up in it somehow, some way. It's going to, like, I still think
eight
it's going to
be women elimination chamber match.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to be, ultimately, it's going to end up some kind of, that might be the finish that people shit on. And that might be the one where it's going to lead to some kind of, like I said, a four way with Bianca and Becky and Bayley and who else, you know? So,
I would like to see it. I would like to see Asuka to win. But yeah, this whole Becky and Bayley thing and what they're doing is so unclear right now. And, you know, adding them to the match is what we were just kind of saying was bad for Tony Khan, you know, was to just make a multi-person match just because people don't have a match. It's kind of like a cop-out a bit on the creative, but I don't know. I still like, I'm not in love with the idea, but Lita and Trish and Becky as a threesome somehow doing a match, that could be kind of cool, but it still seems like it's a little bit of a step down for Becky.
Yeah. When I watched Raw that Monday, I turned the TV off, turned off Raw right after the Cody Sammy promo. I was like, okay, nothing's going to be better than that. I'm not going to hang in. And from what I heard, it was the rest of the show wasn't, you know,
there were some moments that were not great after that. You had Seth and his giant red boots and Miz having to sell a super kick from the giant red boots.
Oh God.
All right. What about, so you think Theory is coming out of that match? I think so too. I wouldn't mind seeing Priest. I think there's something there with him, cause that group is so good with mm-hmm. Dom. Bronson Reed would be a nice little kind of like Cinderella story there, just because he's like, you don't expect him, but
I think Bronson Reed's getting a moment by doing the splash off the cage and missing.
Oh my God. Probably.
I know that worries me. That worries me too, but I just think something like that, you know, he's going to have like that big moment, but not win the match, obviously.
And I like Montez Ford a lot. I just don't think that it's going to be here for him. And then we have Edge and Beth versus the Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley. And it seems like we're leading to something else with Edge and Finn at WrestleMania. And obviously we're leading to Rhea and Charlotte at WrestleMania. So I'm not even sure how they figure this one out. I mean, Edge is Canadian, so I don't know if they're going to, you know, if they're going to beat him necessarily. But we'll see what happens here. Cause we know that we're probably going to see more of it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. Cause if you're going to do something funky with Sammy, do you want to do something funky with Edge, right? Is it really going to be Edge and Finn? I mean, it's a good match, but.
The original rumor was a Hell in a Cell. But I think they were going to do that prior, but Edge had some acting commitments that he couldn't get out of.
I feel like Edge and Finn at this point is a good match. I just feel it's more of like a Raw match or B-level pay-per-view match. If you're going to do anything with Edge on WrestleMania, let's elevate someone new, and like Damian Priest, and have him in that match, right? Mm-hmm. With Edge. He was the first recruit.
Yep.
So, well, that's, I like Finn, but it's kind of like to see Priest get the opportunity.
All right. And then Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley.
Yes. If they do Brock and Gunther WrestleMania, I hope it's night two, but maybe they can do some kind of funky finish out of this one. That's a lot of funky finishes going on. Maybe not.
I know.
And like I said, night one is Brock versus Lashley. Brock goes in the match with Gunther, kind of, you know, not 100%. Gunther beats him there, but then you kind of come back with the rematch with there. I think it's okay in the middle of the show, but not for Roman, for Brock. In this case, I wouldn't do it with having an injured Roman lose to a Cody, though. I think whoever beats Roman needs to be 100% for sure.
All right. I think that is it. There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about. What is Carl Fredrick's NXT name?
I don't know. Looks like his head shaved though.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a gimmick to him.
Like he's still doing the name. You know, he's Native American. No, it's not a gimmick for him, but like looks like he still has that same kind of look other than a shaved head now. So
I'm looking this up, and this person said that his name is Eddie Thorpe. And he's got a match on Level Up coming whenever Friday, I guess. So Friday, tomorrow.
Yeah. Eddie Thorpe, huh? This doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Eddie Thorpe against Dante Chen is the match.
Ugh. I'm not a Dante Chen fan, but as long as it's a nice, quick match, be nice. Yeah, Carl's talented. He can, you know, tons of charisma.
I'm wearing my Carl hat right now. I don't think he can be connected to this hat right now, but I bought it when he was.
Anyone can get past a bad wrestling name. It could be Carl, but he's probably was in that process. That, you know, a lot of times it's not just this is your name and that's what it's going to be. It's a lot of back and forth with the talent and, you know, like.
Eddie is also spelled the way that Eddie Guerrero spelled it, though. E-D-D-Y.
Thorpe. Yeah.
Jim Thorpe.
Is Jim Thorpe Native American?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great. One of the greatest athletes of all time. That's probably where he got the last name from.
Or maybe that was suggested by Shawn Michaels. He got... That's probably his era, right? Jim Thorpe? Right? I don't know.
No, Jim Thorpe was like way even before Sean. This was like before our pops' era.
Well, then at least they didn't call him Strongbow, you know?
Yeah, Jim Thorpe was early 1900s.
Freddie
but he was
Strongbow.
You know, like multi-sport athlete. He's like good at like every sport back then.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I didn't realize he was Native American, but yeah. That's cool. Good for Carl.
All right. I think that is it for us. So we will be back here next Thursday talking about whatever's coming. You know, a lot of it's going to be the road to revolution because we're going to be there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, got to talk Mania as well. So that's going to be a big part of our show until WrestleMania happens. But yeah, if you have any feedback, shoot me an email, gg@fightgamemedia.com. Not saying we're going to redo the show all over again, but our goal is to kind of hit a few more things than we did with just Dynamite. So yeah, let us know what you think, and we will see you next week. So for John, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.